Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Jerry Micco, and joining me in studio today, the PG's Ray Fittipaldo and 93.7 The Fan weekend host and Panther.com editor Chris Peek. And joining us on the phone right now is the PG's eminent Penguins hockey writer, Dave Molinari. Dave, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today on the Post-Gazette Roundtable.
Oh, my pleasure, guys.
You know, Dave, let me ask, and I'll ask off the top. You obviously were at Thursday night's game against the Caps, and you saw the fight. I mean, fights in hockey are part of the game. Like them or not, they're there, and I don't think anybody has a beef with the fight. What were your first impressions, Dave, when you saw Asham do what he did after he knocked Beagle out and kind of gave him the little sleep thing, and then a few minutes later tapped the boards whenever he went out? Did you get a sense right then that, oh boy, this is something that's people are gonna talk about, and or is this something you've seen so much of it that it just kind of rolls off your back?
Well, there was a time when the winner in a fight making gestures a lot more explicit or grandiose than the ones that Asham trotted out on Thursday night. That was kind of the norm. That's not the case anymore. And, I mean, as soon as I saw Asham with those gestures, I happened to be focused on him when he did them. I knew that he was just igniting a firestorm. And I think he recognized that when he was tapping on the glass from inside the penalty box, I think that was kind of an acknowledgement to Beagle. As he was being helped off the ice, you know, kind of like hockey players tapping the ice with their sticks, mm-hmm. or the side of the boards if they're standing on the bench. In this case, hitting the inside of the penalty box with a stick was as close as Asham could come to that. So I think by the time he got to the box, maybe even before he got to the box, he realized that he had done something really stupid. And, you know, he spent a lot of time in the interim apologizing for it. He got a lot of abuse from around North America, possibly from around the world, right after that happened. But he managed to diffuse a lot of it by, you know, the way he dealt with it after the game, and then again after practice on Friday, when he basically said there was no excuse for what he did.
You know, he owned up to it right away, Dave. And then Alex Ovechkin weighed in with saying it was, dumb and classless or whatever he said. But, is this one of those things, Dave, when they play next time that, it's going to just add a little more fuel to that Caps-Pens rivalry?
I'm not sure how much more rivalry or how much more fuel the mm-hmm. The rivalry needed. I think this might be something where Asham gets a little more attention before the next meeting than he would have under other circumstances. You know, he's obviously not a headliner on this team, and usually the talk is of the Crosbys and Ovechkins and Malkins and Backstroms and people like that when these teams play. But, you know, he'll be he'll certainly be a much discussed figure before the next meeting, and I wouldn't doubt that he will be called upon by one of the Capitals to answer on the ice for what he did. But, you know, Asham's a pretty tough character. I don't think anybody has to worry about him backing down from a challenge or being physically unable to meet it. He's kind of an old style hockey warrior.
Dave, do you think this was a singular incident within a hockey game, or do you think this all goes back to the Winter Classic and with what happened with Steckel and Crosby, and then what happened after that with Steckel not dropping the gloves? Do you think there's any relation at all between the events of last night and that, or do you think it was just one incident in a long season?
I don't really see any connection there. It's not like Jay Beagle was in any way involved. I'm trying to remember if he was even on their NHL roster at the time. He's certainly not somebody that with all of the prominent players on the Capitals roster, Jay Beagle is not a guy that you tend to focus on. I think it would really be a stretch to suggest that there was any connection Thursday night to what had gone on January 1st. I think Asham was trying to light a fire under his team and the crowd, and for better or for worse, starting a fight often serves that purpose in hockey games. And, the gestures aside, it worked. The crowd responded with an incredible fervor. It was almost a little unsettling how much the crowd seemed to like what happened. And, you know, that kind of sparked the Penguins to come back and score a goal that put that game into overtime. So that seemed to be what Asham's intention was, and it worked. And also, he was responding. Beagle had gone and roughed up Chris Letang right before that and was actually getting a penalty for it. So, you know, he kind of had a reason. If, you know, I'm sure he was looking for a reason, and what Beagle did to Letang gave him one.
One more question about the fight on Thursday night. When we see something like this happen, particularly one that ends with, you know, blood and a guy knocked out, stations like this, 93.7 The Fan, get all riled up, lots of phone calls, lots of arguments and discussions about fighting in hockey. So, you know, inevitably we'll ask the question again. I mean, where is the NHL at on this topic? Is this a subject or a topic the NHL is considering or debating or looking at legislating, or is it just let the status quo go?
I think it's something that's been debated for years, but I've seen no evidence that the league is anywhere close to eliminating fighting. It's the most polarizing topic in the game and has been for a number of years. I don't know if it's split 50-50 among fans, but it's probably at least relatively close to that. And I think it's something that if it's ever taken out of the game, it's not something that's going to happen anytime soon.
We're talking with the Post-Gazette's Hockey Penguins beat writer, Dave Molinari, here on the Post-Gazette Roundtable on 93.7 The Fan. Dave, I want to switch gears and talk about Sidney Crosby, who was cleared for contact this week and has had a couple of contact practices, although I know they aren't heavy contact practices. You know, the fans have to be kind of patient here because it's a big step to be able to be cleared for contact, but it's a mile away from being ready to play in a game, is it not?
Yeah, although, I mean, I will say right up front, I slept in the day we covered serious brain injuries when I was in college, so, you know, I can't really speak to this from a medical perspective, but yes, he was cleared for contact, but as is typical of game day skates, there was essentially none on Thursday, and then again at the Penguins practice on Friday, they just had a workout that did not call for any hitting to speak of. So even though he's been cleared for contact, he really hasn't gotten any contact. And you know, it's pretty clear that the doctors have taken a conservative approach with him, wanting to be quite certain of his progress before he gets cleared for the next step. So, you know, now that he's down to the final step in his recovery, I wouldn't expect that to change. And, you know, it's going to be tough for him to get much contact in the immediate future because of the Penguins' playing and travel schedules. They only have one practice between now and, late next week. So, you know, he's not going to be able to get much of the kind of test that I would think doctors would want him to receive during practices. So I wouldn't be running out and buying a ticket necessarily for the next home game with the idea that I would probably see Sidney Crosby playing it.